Actually, what does it mean standing in this cage, introducing an art space which is continuously struggling with representation, going to Madrid and to represent the art space W139 in the red light district in Amsterdam. And when I look around, I see one Dutch person. You're from Madrid, I know. There's another Dutch person, it's Rabin. So you guys are also from the Netherlands? No, no, not at all. So exactly, this is good to know, because standing in this cage, we thought we need some presence here, so maybe we start with a little movie from the W. How I wish we could do this here, because actually this is a show by Jonathan Monk he did last year, and Jonathan Monk was invited because he was 1989 in Amsterdam to visit an exhibition called The Horn of Plenty in the Stedelijk Museum. And then I asked him to come back to refer to these educational times he had and to make a show around this theme. So he added another work to it, which is called The Lowered, from The Horn of Plenty to The Lowered Ceiling. And this happened, it was an intervention actually by someone where I don't know. Well, the W139, as I said, is a place which is in the heart of the red light district in Amsterdam. It was founded in 1979 by a few artists squatting the space, forming a theater. And this theater was used mainly through the 19th century. It was standing empty for more than 20 years. And then these artists occupied the squat of this place by just going in there, because more or less the whole district, which is nowadays really mainly a tourist attraction, place was completely nearly empty. And it was very easy at the time to squat houses, which is not possible today anymore. So we still struggling with, of course, always with this history of 30 years of art program, because the space was mainly founded with the idea to be the opposite of a museum. As much as I appreciate representation, like I had it yesterday in the Reina Sofia, and because we need representation to build up a distance to a certain event, to categorize it and things like that, the W139 is meant to give it physical presence by the artist. And what we see here is images, really random through 30 years of history of the W139, is something where we try to build up site-specific work with under the leading program of artists, maybe. I'm an artist by education, but I more or less I don't have any time to produce movies anymore. So I'm a curator nowadays. What does it mean to be a curator in the W139? And a curator in the W139 is building up a program. We say, or how we read it here in the text, an institution means to establish a certain position and bring it a move. This is how I read it in your interview. Well, actually, of course, we want to establish a position, but for more us, it's more in general to establish again the voice of the artist. Because what we see at the moment is global-wise mainly an art discourse which is dominated by a critique and a curatorial discourse. I think this is quite unique in the last 100 years of art history, that we work with, that we are confronted as artists with a hegemony of a curatorial discourse. This means an institutional discourse. So, artist voice, what could this be? What is an artistic presence? What is a visual discourse, for instance? What could this be? These are the daily questions I ask my exhibiting artists, and mainly young artists. So Jonathan Monk was a very bad example for that. What we see are mainly artists who have their first show or first bigger show, sometimes solo shows, less thematic group shows. Actually, I'm making my preparing at the moment first thematic group show together with three artists, but we try to avoid that, because the thematic group shows mainly ask to fill out the idea of a curator. as an artistic director of the WD139, we try to develop everything out of an artistic need. This means I'm doing a lot of studio visits and I try to develop certain questions. At the moment, for instance, it's my main question I raise with every artistic position is subjectivity. Because I notice that a lot of artists deny nowadays a certain context, start to deny a context and relate themselves out of a very subjective position to an outside world. And they have certain expectations I did not share. I'm a born 68, I'm educated as a German as well, nearly a kind of workout of the Holocaust, so to say. I was always confronted with the German history, so I'm really much coming from this political consciousness about what I'm doing, and now I'm confronted with a young generation of artists who do not deny this bigger context, but who prefer to relate themselves on a very subjective level to the surrounding things happening.
Is that also is that kind of a parallel movement to how you then operate as a more artist-focused director, as opposed to like, could you draw a parallel between a bigger context and a curatorial focus and a subjective focus and artistic focus, or is that a very weird simplification?
Well, it's not a simplification, but it's a question I follow every day, because I don't know what it might be. And when I ask the artist to contextualize himself, I try to do this, to force this not out of my position, but to find the moment inside an art whose artistic position which refers itself to a broader context of society. So these are my criteria to invite, for instance, an artist. You know what I mean?
Do you have a specific example?
A specific example? For instance, there's a... young artists nowadays work as... they work under this background of a very virtual experience. This means they were grown up with the internet, which is new for me. It's still like a strange tool to use, but they were really grown up with this. They were grown up with a social network, mainly. It's a, so to speak, not a physical experience, but a virtual one. This means also it's a global one. And they try to develop out a position where they try to translate it back into a physical presence. Because what happened is I work with net-based artists who had a virtual presence, and they try to relate it now back into the space, and are they there confronted with exactly the same questions like 30 years ago, finally. But the difference is how they position themselves within this field of the arts. Some we wanted to talk because actually we were struggling yesterday with the thing about what is the left of? Are we an institution now at the W139? This is what we were discussing yesterday on a nice cafe. But are we an institution? How do you see us? Can I ask you?
Yeah, so to clarify my position, I'm a graphic designer and I do most of the graphic design now for W139. And of course I knew it before because I live in Amsterdam and I go to exhibitions. I think, to speak very bluntly, I think to a lot of my peers, people of my age group or my background, for most of the shows at W139, it was a really good place to go on a Friday and have a beer and chat with people. And then if you were lucky, you could see some of the art, and if you were a good exhibition goer, you would go back and check the art again, but mostly it was a kind of hangout. And I think that's still kind of largely the case, even though the openings became less party-based than they were a few years ago. But what's always strange, I think, is that there's But what's interesting also is that there's often very good exhibitions or like very, very seriously made, and then what often happens is it disappears under the, or there's a very small percentage of the visitors that, that I think really experience it, and there's a lot of hanging out and drinking beer.
There's nothing wrong with that, right?
I love hanging out and drinking beer.
It's a physical network. This is what it always supposed to be.
Yeah. No, but so, yeah. Sorry, but why I started talking about it in the institutional sense is that why I often don't see it as an institution or wouldn't call it an institution is that this very informal network of the visitors. Blends quite seamlessly with the infrastructure that is the art space itself, it seems. Because a lot of the employees who build up the shows or work as guards as during the shows, they're a connection between the organization and a large part of the audience, I have the feeling. It doesn't seem structured as a kind of classical top-down institution in that sense. You know what I mean?
Yes, I know what you mean, but a top-down institution, I mean, finally for us, it's my predecessor, Heis Frieling, an artist painter, he always denied the word institution for the W139. He always tried to use the word art space. And I would say that an institution in the sense under to establish an artistic position or an artist position, not an artistic, an artist position, means that we have to call ourselves an institution because we need to build up this lobby and we have to give it its seriousness and not something like a temporary... These ideas often, we always speak about the energy, right?
What do you mean?
Yeah, the energy was meant like... The energy in the space, which is actually, you see, 8 meters high and a wonderful space. Most beautiful space to work with, this is only the front space, is to build up this physical presence of social network and the artwork and the artistic position itself is what I call something where I am very happy finally as a result of. I want to build up a situation for an audience which refers to a certain context they know under this artistic position. And this needs to be it's very important that I share it with the social network, because otherwise the whole thing does not work for me. This is why we brought, for instance, this asphalt into the space to show that everything is part of the exhibition. Also, the floor, for instance, follows its own policy plan.
But doesn't that mean that the floor is part of the framework and not of the exhibition? Doesn't it separate itself from the exhibition?
No, it doesn't separate, it becomes part of the exhibition because it's supposed to quote the outside, the public space, so to speak, and it becomes something like a, I see it really with all its stains, you know, that it looks really dirty. It becomes like really something like a marketplace, and this is what I want the W to be.
But to me, sorry, but this it's a detail, but to me then the floor becomes part of the exhibition space, not the exhibition, because the exhibition is on the floor.
No, because everything of the exhibition, everything is under attention. I want to put everything under attention. My position, the artistic position, the floor, in the same way than how we construct the light. If you make it like this one, like really a gallery show, or if you do it like really like an something so object orientated, or if you build up something which is completely taking over the space, which is a challenge for every exhibition. Under the scale of the space, yeah, that's so. The floor is part of the exhibition. And artists struggle with me about that. They would sometimes prefer a floor which is more neutral, and things like that. But I always try to make it, to give it the same. Yeah, that's what I said. But actually, because we wanted to open the whole thing a bit up, I want to introduce another one, another participant, and this is Alan Moore. Alan Moore. Sitting here. Alan is an art critic and a social networker, I call you like that as well. because he's publishing a paper called House Magic, Magic House, House Magic. Sorry, Alan. He lived the last 20 years mainly in New York, and through this whole East Side development, and nowadays he's living here in this based here in Madrid. And can you describe for you where the moment where an art space or a social space becomes institutionalized out of your observation?
Well, it's a subtle process. It's impossible to say. It's like when Apollo grabs Daphne and she turns into a tree. How much is person? How much is tree? It's happening. You're becoming rooted suddenly. It's a process of metamorphosis.
Sorry, Alan, I think you have to speak straight into the microphone because I even don't understand.
You can't even hear me.
No, I can hear you, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No, was curious. Tim invited me to W139 last year in the summer to speak against Jonathan Monk's installation about the Horn of Plenty. Artists.
Nice misunderstanding, Alan.
Okay, anyhow, yeah. Jonathan Monk's installation was about artists who emerged in the East Village, who are now famous. I saw one here, Peter Halley. But they became identified somehow with the East Village of the 1980s, which was in fact a demotic gallery movement. Galleries run by artists comprised most of the art action and the scene there. So I was speaking about sort of the losers in the art world game, the artists who followed the neo-expressionist model, the artists who were grafiteros, and the artists who were political. And this was, in a sense, I was representing an art space I was involved in called ABC No Rio. I have the carry bag, a piece of merch.
ABC No Rio is an artist space in New York with the same. Also existing since 30 years now?
Yes, and when I arrived at W139, I discovered that W and ABC No Rio shared a common origin in a squat or occupation. This was striking to me because I was making, at the time, a research, which continues, about occupied buildings, squatted social centers in particular, which began as an exhibition at ABC No Rio in 2009. And I produced a catalog of that. And this continued, this catalog, and became a zine, and passing around the little flyer that has the different copies of the zine that are you can download as PDFs. So, yeah, there are many, many very interesting kinds of connections.
Can you give some around here, maybe? Or is it
yeah, I can yeah. pass around these copies. I have these marked to show. This is a proof of the
with
current
all
issues
correct.
That's already finished. This one,
this
number two.
Direction.
But it turns out, I am in Madrid for personal reasons, but it turns out Madrid is a center of occupations with a social center intention, a movement really which many think belongs at its origin in Italy. Leoncavallo in Milan is often called the first. But here you have Patio Maravillas and also Casablanca and the legalized social center of Tabacalera. And these are projects that are in the process of becoming sort of institutions, or sometimes they don't succeed, they are evicted, like Casablanca probably will be soon. But their relation to the sphere of cultural production to me was extremely interesting. And the House Magic project follows the phenomenon of squatting and occupation in Europe generally, and now becoming more specifically about the interests of cultural producers within this political movement.
But when you speak about a cultural production, what is it? Do artists work there? Is it artist patch. Is it called an art space or what is it? A cultural center?
Well, Leoncavallo in Milan begins in the 1970s to serve social functions that the state will not discharge. And these are really service to the poor, social service. Yeah? There was the presentation earlier from Fucking Good Art about the Italy, the art of the age of Berlusconi. One of the artists said, well, don't worry about the museums, worry about the hospitals that are being closed. Yeah, so that was the beginning. But also the artists have needs. They need space, they need to present their work. And as this, their opportunities are depressed, then they can go to the social centers. Also, artists who come from a working class background who cannot afford or are not privileged to go into the art academies can become artists through the culture of the social centers. Traditionally, in the 80s and 90s, this was a punk culture. So you have grafiteros, rap artists who are emerging into an artistic identity through these centers.
But in Amsterdam, as a director of the W139, I always struggle with this institution. This means for me also that I try to push the artists into self-organization. I really try to support any kind of self-organization. But this means that we have our certain position in it as an institution and with high subsidized institution. But I also try to support, for instance, artist-run spaces. Is something existing here in Madrid similar?
I am not well aware.
Not
of
like W139, sorry, but artist-run spaces.
I can't answer that. I'm not familiar with the scene in Madrid. There are a few I know. Off Limits is opening a show now, which I haven't seen. And there are also the institutional artist spaces, like Intermediae and Matadero.
Mm. Okay, but these are, and these, yesterday we were to this place, what's its name again?
Tabacalera.
Tabacalera? This is run by artists or activists or?
Yeah, Tabacalera is run by assembly, yeah, like a plenum or a group of people who decide. It's a horizontal management.
There were at least 1,000 people yesterday, I was there. It was really a huge building, like squat, or was it?
No, it's not a squat. It's a legally permitted use by the federal government of this building. They have a contract for a year to proceed to develop the building primarily culturally. But a significant number of the people who initiated that project come from a squatting movement in Lavapiés, the district. They produced the laboratorio occupations. There were three. Laboratorio uno, y dos, y tres. There's a film. Ocupando el vacío, Laboratorio 3. So there, it's related, yeah. The idea that you're going to use this abandoned space, which the government cannot afford to develop, is very similar to saying, we are going to do it. Yeah, if you have the permission, you don't have the permission. And then, always when the occupation begins, you enter into a process of negotiation. The process of negotiation can lead to institutionalization, or it can lead to eviction.
How does this work? Because,
Well, when you take the space, begins usually a process against you. It can be very fast, or it can be slow. And if it's sufficiently slow, you can develop your programs in the space, and then, if the programs prove valuable, socially valuable, you prove that you can provide services essentially for nothing that the government is not providing, then you can acquire political support, and that can move towards legalization, which is the first step towards institutionalization. This has happened throughout Europe. Rotofabrik in Zurich is a primary example, I think. What begins as a squat, as a social center in the 80s, and today is a legalized culture center.
Well, the interesting thing in Amsterdam, for instance, is that nearly every institution there is started by being squatted. It's like Paradiso, a very established concert hall today. It's a Melkway, also a concert hall. It's a W139. I forgot certainly a lot of them. They were rooted somehow in a squat first, right?
Yes.
But the interesting point is where, for instance, the W139 got its first subsidies, which was at the beginning of the 90s. So they existed for 12 years within this system of just self-organization. Well, there were temporary fundings, but it were always project for project, sub-project or something. So what happens now, there are six people working in a space for 400 square meters, and we try to build up a project. Now I even employed a second curator, and we both try to build up criterias for a program. On the other hand, we try to stay accessible like everyone, because what I found very interesting yesterday about the space, there was a huge program, and it was a pin board, and just people went there and pinned a certain sheet of paper with their program for that day. So everyone was able to come in and just build up a program. This is how I understood it somehow. In the W, it means when I'm speaking here, like Mr. Important, and speaking about a placeholder for an artist organization, I work in the struggle that I, on one hand, build up criteria which do not follow the main, for instance, these terms like the political, the critique, are terms which I really try where I'm really struggling with, because inside an art institution, I don't know anymore what it means. So I try to connect myself to a certain artistic position and build up these criteria which give it a certain importance. But on the other hand, I exclude a lot of possible positions by building up these criteria. This is a continuous struggle as a director of the W139. But I'm interested about maybe some questions of you. Marina.
Thank you. I wonder about one thing. The way you described the building in the beginning of your presentation, you put huge emphasis on the notion of the building. And I wonder how that relates to the notion of the institution. Because this is what I think is the biggest mistake museums make, is to identify themselves as buildings, right? I'm that building on that particular address. And for me, an institution needs to get identified through its discourse, for me, in order to be able to function politically and critically.
Can you try to relate this to the bug?
Yeah,
I
think for us, making these exhibitions in our building is one of the options. Buck operates at a certain bundle of entanglement of certain ideas, and they can burst into public negotiation in a number of different occasions. It can be in Germany making a show, or publishing a project, or doing a symposium in Istanbul. So it's not or just on internet, it's not related to the physicality of the particular building. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but on the other hand, you also might you develop. Well, the show I just saw about from Christoph Schlingensief, it's a show which was existing somewhere else.
And it's you, not true. One work is taken over.
Yeah, of course, but I suppose that normally you build up an exhibition site specifically, right? So you ask the artist to relate her position exactly to your institution.
Yeah, but for us, for example, and that's maybe where we differ, exhibition is just one possible format of expressing yourself. And there are so many other formats, so many other possibilities. So if you stop thinking of an art institution as a space for exhibitions, but as a idea as discourse, entanglement of discourse, actually all, everything, your networks, your money, your spaces, everything is defined completely differently. You know, for the art institution, in a traditional sense, yes, it's a machine for one exhibition after the other. And then the building is of crucial importance. But in the last 20 years, especially after 1989, there have been so many changes, and lots of them are kind of theorized very well about, like, social term, pedagogical term, political term, you name it, huh? So you kind of expand it into another area which is not specifically exhibitionary.
But where does this happen then, Maria, when not in your space?
It
Do
happened.
I need to get closer and closer to you?
Yeah,
to,
it's lovely to get very
Yeah, because to, I mean, to...
I think it happens through an assembly of people, through gathering of people. And whether the reason for gathering is an exhibition, which is perfectly legitimate, I'm not writing an exhibition off, not at all. But it's one of the options. Another option is, this is a gathering, and when we completely, mentally at W139, but we are not in the building on Varmostrad 139.
Yes, but this is lacking, actually. Because for me, as a program maker or an exhibition maker, now I'm as a partner of an artist in the W139, we always try to build up this physical presence. This means necessarily that it's really much related to the space, to its surrounding, to its network of artists who are to Amsterdam, actually.
Yeah.
We don't want to be a globalized institution which is happening somewhere with something. Our core business are exhibitions, but it's also, like Sam said, there are, I mean, the last opening were suddenly 800 people, so of course no one is even able to see the artworks anymore, but there's, so it happens, something which is a social event.
But with this you answer the question, so you answer the physicality of the space is important for you.
Yes.
It's of much less importance to us, for example, and I wonder, because you mentioned Amsterdam, 800 people, maybe it's, there's a difference to be in metropolis where, you know, you're part of the large community, or be in a tiny city like Utrecht, where the gathering, assembly of people happens on a completely different logic, completely different logic. It's much more intimate. There's no beer drinking in such a massive scale, which I regret. Huh? I don't mean it as a critique. I regret that's not quite possible. But I think when you operate in the margins, it gives you both freedom and imposes upon you an absolute necessity to start operating differently. And if you say, I don't want to be some global institution operating somewhere, what we try at the back is not to be forced to make a choice. It's not either or. For us, it's an situation. And I think it's extraordinarily possibility of our times, where we interlinked, where we're extraordinarily mobile. And, you know, there are situations where people cannot come to you to become part of your assembly, but would love to. And internet does not necessarily allow that. So sometimes you go to that community yourself. So it's, you know, it offers another set of options. But again, I'm not suggesting one is better than the other. There's just two different ways of operating. And just going back, you answered my question, that physicality of the building is of crucial importance for identification of what W139 is.
Yeah, but when we speak about physicality of the building, I mean, I spoke about this imperative of the political and the critique, which I'm struggling with inside the art institution. And on the other hand, then I want to know, where is a political happening when not within a space, within a social relationship, within a gathering of people? How can you relate? How can it happen somewhere in a text?
Imagined community, for example, is an answer.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, you said two things: space and social gathering. For me, assemblies. So social gathering is important. But social gathering does not only happen through the physicality, through just being too close, just standing close to you physically in the space. That can happen on very many different. I don't know. I'm belonging to older generation than you, so maybe Facebook is one of the options. Massive teleconferencing, which is something that we experienced or tested lately and worked extraordinarily well. But again, it's not one instead of the other, it's an and.
Yeah.
Well, it made me, made me think of... because for 1 year, W139 published a journal instead of exhibition invitations, but with articles surrounding the exhibitions, right? So in a way that was something similar to what Maria is talking about, that it's not only limited to physical space, but broadening. But on the overall, over 33 years, I think it's quite simple that the only constant in the program has been the building, right? Because there's been a lot of different approaches, and you could say maybe like six directors or something, different staff. And you could say that W139 has always been there for the artists, but you could say that about a lot of spaces, and so the only extremely specific thing is the building.
No, and I, but I would say I always, with every ambition, with everything I do, I aim to bring the people in the space. Because I believe that everything which might happen politically has to happen within this setting I'm constructing, because I cannot relate myself or a program to something which is happening somewhere else. It needs to be in a physical presence. This is why I really believe in physicality in the current times of the virtual. I don't believe in Facebook and all these things.
Maybe the last few months there was, maybe you don't want to talk about it now, but there was a program exhibition, Kitchen 139. That seems quite relevant to what you mentioned now.
Kitchen 139 was a project together with Casco in Utrecht, part of the Grand Domestic Revolution, and I invited them as an... Oh, no, come on. I invited them as an... Finally, as an art project. And indeed, yes, it was a gathering of non-art related groups, for instance. But I wouldn't make it more political than, for instance, a show which really looks like a gallery show, and where I also put exactly the same questions on, like I do it on a Kitchen 139 project, where we have all these domestic workers and things like that, which, of course, fulfill a lot of this political expectation. I want to see an object exhibition under the same political questions, and I do it on any, you know? Yeah, the political is happening everywhere. Within, Rancière calls it still, he calls it the segmentation of the regimes. That's where I want to, this is what I want to grab. Something where, of the aesthetic, sorry, it was too short. So,
can you repeat it?
Yeah, the segmentation of the aesthetic, of the regimes within an aesthetic.
What does that mean?
That you really try to put everything under attention on its way of how things speak to us. I don't believe in an object. I have a very good example. Now, at the moment, I have an exhibition by the artist Matthew Lutz-Kinoy and Martijn Hendricks. They both describe their way of producing an object as a social performance. Martijn Hendricks was writing a manifest where he says he doesn't want to legitimize his practice beforehand, which is very, very specific, I think, to a young artist generation I'm confronted with, because they were taught by always relating themselves to a certain history of the postmodernism, where everything is in relation to a certain history, and everything is a concept. And they say, for me, the working with the material and defining an object is part of my whole social network. You understand what I mean? Mm. This is for me a very practical understanding, a translation of a practice out of the understanding I got, for instance, Rancière. Oh, there it is, the exhibition. Yeah.
Yeah, I was reading an old text by you today, and there you also said that you don't want to distinguish between political and non-political art, but you making art is political in itself, right? That's what you wrote.
No. The critique. there's nothing more critical in an art, within an art space nowadays to be not critical. There's nothing more political than not to be political. Just to do it, and something to relate myself to the impossible instead of the possible is the most exciting moment situation I can produce with an artist. Where something becomes not definable anymore, where something starts to, where I can't write about it anymore, and I really can point on these situations I was joining, for instance, with the Magic Copa Culture Object.
What is that?
Magic Copa Culture Object. Are you still interested? Yes, people sitting. Okay. Magic Copa Culture Object was a gathering of 10 artists, Netherlands, Germany, Austria, and they denied all kind of authorship, but it was not about authorship. They brought a lot of material within the space, and they tried to balance out this moment when material becomes an object. And for them it was also in the sense of a performative approach into the material, that there was, good example about the situation. I came down every hour asking them what they are actually doing, how they communicate between each other and where this moment might happen, because I got nervous opening 2 days before, and then suddenly I came one time down and I saw, wow, the whole thing, this gathering of 10 artists working within a space became suddenly a composition of a composition of material. And the installation within the space became a placeholder of its gathering of actors. So suddenly the material started to have its own presence and was speaking to me. It's something I can prove only in an exhibition. It's even hard to speak about it here. It's something we have to see together to experience.
And does it happen in every
exhibition? This is what I call, or what I got an idea about, the visual discourse, whatever that might be.
But this kind of epiphany or moment that it suddenly changes and suddenly becomes something, does that happen with every exhibition in W139?
No, this is where we, well, say that we dedicate ourselves to a risk. This means, of course, an exhibition can fail. And, you see some of these which look really rough and sometimes, yeah, I don't know. I think the moment is reached when there's a wholeness of experience. I love to speak about it within an exhibition, in front of an exhibition, but I hate to speak about it here.
But this position of taking risk and possibly failing and... That's sort of very similar to what Martijn or Matthew were saying about not wanting to legitimize themselves beforehand, right? And is this also very much the artist position that you say that you take?
Yes.
That you're able, that you can fail, and that it's that you don't want to justify everything?
You don't think about a failure when you do something. It's just like...
But there is a possibility. It's not that you're creating conditions where it's impossible to fail. Through a certain...
You don't have to point out what you're doing, because everything is produced by your own learning process. Everything is part of you in that moment where you're acting. So, it's not about writing the whole thing down. It's not about declaring it beforehand. It's there. All kinds of concepts we know are already within myself as an artist. This is where I start to my production. And this means that I can deny all these criteria. What is critique, for instance? What is critique in an art space? Every artist is used to question material. He's criticizing material. So the critique is not meant as a social critique always. It can become one, but I'm questioning my environment. And when I do this with material, it has the same relevance to me. I think it's clear, right?
To me it is.
Questions? Otherwise, I think... we finish.
I have a quick question for Sam. I wonder how you approach the task of providing W139 with a graphic identity. It's obviously something that's very prominent, plays a very prominent role within within the contemporary institutions in Holland. We look at the wall here with all these logos. Each institution has a very strong brand, and often as is the case certainly with an institution like Bitterdevit, each director likes to kind of rebrand the publication of their program, and very much associates that with reinventing the way the institution is communicated. I wonder if you could just briefly describe how you approach it.
Well, it's funny also that you mentioned the logo, because in a way what I did do for W139, it doesn't really have a logo. There's one typeface that I use, and the name of W139 is set in that typeface, and then that's the logo. But I don't know if it came about so neatly and so clearly, but in a way, I think the way that I tried to design for W139 kind of relates to what Tim was saying earlier about questioning material and just working and doing something. I don't have any. I can't easily show an example, but there's no big concept behind the identity. It's just a certain feeling that I'm trying to reach graphically, which is a certain kind of precariousness, where information is not organized according to an external grid, which is imposed like an absolute grid, which is how a lot of design is built up. So you have a format, and it's divided into certain sections, and that is placed there, and that is placed there. But I try to work from the inside out, by having information given a certain weight, which becomes a certain size. So some things are bigger than others, and then they cluster together in a more organic way to show relationships between them, and then. The result is a much more messy thing than, or a more precarious or more unstable or organic thing, and this also works sometimes much better than others, but it's a certain attitude or approach that I'm trying to follow, and intuitively I think it somehow matches the energy at W139. There's an irony, because when I started working for W139, there was the decision to basically, there had to be a cut back on the expenses of printing and everything. There was a lot of printing before, so now practically the only outlet for the design is the website. There's very little print work going on, which is fine, except that this kind of more subjective and precarious approach that I try to follow is very hard to relate to a website, which is by definition automatically built up according to program rules and has much less of the kind of human element that I try to introduce.
Also, there are some people from the Beat Swatch who developed a website machine called Hot Glue that totally works like you say.
Then I'll check it out. Okay, and do you want to add any final words, Sam?
Just thank you, Alan, for joining us, and thank you, Sam, and for these nice days. What's it already? Yeah. And thank you for listening. By the way, this